Welcome to another episode of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. In this episode, you are just going to be hearing from myself all about resilience. Those of you that are familiar with the Multi-Schools Council will know that we do lots of things to break down perceptions towards children with special educational needs and mental health difficulties. And one of the main ways we've been doing that over the last academic year is we've been running a resilience programme across Essex. This resilience programme is something that has been worked on over 3 years and has now been funded by the North Clinical Commissioning Group to ensure that more children can feel resilient and basically there is a better understanding about resilience and mental health within schools. So in this episode, I'm going to tell you all about the programme, about our kind of plans for the future and some of the things that we found in the past year working with children from a range of settings and from a range of backgrounds across the Essex area. The Resilience Programme is something that we started to develop back in 2017. In 2017, children from a range of places told us that mental health was one of their key priorities that they felt affected them and their peers. And they felt that if there was to be an improvement in the understanding of mental health in schools, building resilience into young people and giving them the tools to feel more resilient was key. We actually asked the children, first of all, what did they think would make them more resilient or would help them to help themselves be more resilient? And we first of all looked at the key things they felt impacted their resilience, and they came up with 8 key indicators, and these included friendship, keeping fit and healthy, self-esteem, mood, school, social media, family, and then resilience overall. So these were the things that they felt impacted the most on their resilience. And so this was the start of a model that we then created so that we could, you know, ask children to score themselves on how resilient they felt against each of their these areas. And that's where the resilience model was born from. With this model, we then needed to look at how we could approach each area that children were telling us affected their resilience. And so we made contact with Mental Health First Aid England, and they ran a couple of examples for us of activities that we could use links to these ideas. I also took some stuff from my own teaching practice that I'd seen work within the classroom, and also discussion with other professionals who were passionate about mental health. And so that's really where the resilience program came from. The uniqueness of this program is the fact that it has come from children's ideas. So absolutely, I believe in making sure that there is research behind projects and making sure that there is some evidence based behind what is being delivered. However, I don't think anything can replace actually talking to young people and getting their views. And this was the real basis of the start of our resilience program. What we wanted to do first of all was to trial this program, and I trialed it within Marketfield School, within the year 6 class that I was teaching first of all, because a frustration that I sometimes feel when we talk about things that are designed within education is that they're designed for mainstream children, they're designed for mainstream schools and then adapted for children with special needs. Now, for me, I wanted to do something that was designed around children with special needs and then rolled out to everybody else, because I've seen over the years that there is so much that works in special schools that could actually just be transferred into mainstream and would make a big impact, not just for children with special needs, but for all children. And the resilience program is exactly that. So I knew that if it was going to work in our environment, then it could very easily work in many different environments. So we trialed it and we got some really good results. So that was the first point. For us to be able to roll this out into Essex, we needed to secure some funding to ensure that my time to deliver it was covered, but also the resources that go around the resilience programme were there. A big thing that I have mentioned before, and I will continue to mention as this programme develops, is that I feel very strongly that schools should never have to pay for mental health support for their students. I feel that it should be a given. And I'm a big believer in comparing physical health and mental health and making sure that it's seen as important. And this needs to start in school. So the raising of the awareness of that needs to start in school. And so, for example, if you've got a child in your school who needs a physical intervention or NHS support, they will get that support. They will get that medical support. It should be exactly the same for mental health support in schools. And so that's why we needed the funding for the time of delivery and for the resources to come from an outside source, not to come from the schools and charge the schools for this. So the North Clinical Commissioning Group in the north of Essex agreed that this was a program that could really have an impact, and they funded it from March 2020 to March 2021. So this was in 2019 that we had these conversations, 2 years after kind of developing the program, making sure that it was there, making sure we consulted with young people. And we were then in a place to then start delivering this program. And that's what we've been doing over the last academic year. So the way the program works is that it is split across 6 weeks, and I myself will go in and work with up to one class at a time, so 30 to 35 children, and deliver this resilience program. Now, some schools put forward less children than that, so the smallest I've had in a group has been 10, and kind of between 10 and 20 children works really nicely as a group. But we also have children that, or schools that put forward a class. And this is something that's being delivered for all age groups. So very much the content stays the same, mainly between the primary and secondary schools. However, the vocabulary you use and the way you deliver it will be slightly different. And this is something that I'm really keen to get across, is that resilience can be developed at any age, absolutely any age. So the activities that we're using and describing within our delivery and within our sessions should be applicable and appropriate for all aged children. So between our delivery times that I've just mentioned, we have worked with 11 schools already, and we've produced a mental health report that has outlined our findings since the start of this project, where we've been rolling it out. One of the big things that underpins our resilience program in schools is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So for any of you that haven't or aren't aware of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, go and check it out now, because I feel so strongly that it should underpin any good or outstanding school. If teachers within that school environment, and not just teachers, LSAs, anybody working in that school, understands the principles behind Maslow, then it should be the basis for a caring, welcoming, inclusive school environment that every school should be aiming towards. So basically, the way Maslow works is that it has different layers, and the feeling is that if people are going to be the best they can be, they have certain things that they need to reach their potential. So at the bottom of this pyramid is how it's displayed, are our basic needs that keep us alive. So things such as food and water and warmth and rest. They're basic human needs. Now, this does still link into a school, because schools should provide that environment where, you know, if these needs aren't being met at the school, we can then meet those needs. Okay, we can't control home environments when we're working in schools. I think everybody would accept that, but we can create an environment that lets children feel included and can feel like a home. Okay, some children need that. And so that's why that bottom layer is really, really important. We hope that children will get that from their home environment, but we know that it's not always the case. So that bottom layer is really, really important. Above that, we have the safety needs. Now, everybody needs to feel safe. Okay, when we feel unsafe, we act in different ways. Our behavior changes and we respond in many different ways. And so if we want children in a school environment to make progress and to feel as if they are belonging and they're part of a group, then we need to ensure they feel safe. And that's why it's so important that schools understand any kind of bullying or anything that might make a child feel unsafe is nipped in the bud straight away. Above our safety needs are our belongingness and love needs. And again, some people might question and say, well, how does a school do that? They should be doing that, okay? If children don't feel as if they belong in a school environment, then they are not going to make the progress they need or they want. The way that schools can do that is quite simply to ensure that every child does feel as if they belong, and create a classroom where children, who, no matter who they are, no matter the needs they may have, are included. And that's really important as well. And then above belongingness and love is self-esteem. So again, we know that if children and adults do not have a good opinion about themselves, it's going to affect their levels of resilience. A challenge that some people might be able to overcome because they have a good feeling within themselves might then be very, very difficult for someone who's not feeling great about themselves. And that's why self-esteem is so, so important. And then right at the top of the pyramid is your self-actualization. So when you know that you are being the best you can be, when you have that feeling of achievement, when you are on top of your game. And in schools, that's when children can make progress. That's when children can really be the best they can be. So understanding each layer and the influences and how we can ensure that children are resilient in each layer is really, really important in school. And we actually use Maslow in one of our sessions where children design their own pyramid to ensure they know and they understand what goes into each layer. And alongside the pyramid, we get the children to draw a ladder. And the reason we do that is because we explain that in our lives, all of us are going to go up and down this ladder. Okay, different things are going to affect us that will affect each of those layers. So for example, if we look right at the bottom, there are going to be some times where we do not get the sleep we need, okay, for whatever reason. Now, we have choices the next day. We can either choose that we don't do anything about that and we just go along, and then it's probably going to negatively affect on our day. But if we make a resilient choice, we can look at what else goes in our pyramid and ensure that those other needs are met to the best of our ability, so the sleep does not affect us as much as what it could do. We will then need to ensure that we get the level of sleep we need the following day, but there are choices and things that we can do to ensure that we're as resilient as possible. And it's these kind of conversations in schools and these kind of tools that we need to be giving to young people. Because as we also explained, resilient is not always being happy or always feeling as if we're on top of the world, because that is not real life. Building these skills into young people will ensure that the challenges they face throughout their teenage and adult years can be better managed within themselves. And why is that important? That's important because if children can feel more resilient, we will then be less reliant on services that treat children at the high end of mental health difficulties. If we don't tackle the problems lower down the pyramid, then we are just going to keep putting more and more money into these high-end services, and we're going to be making more and more referrals, and we're going to have longer and longer waiting lists where children do not get the support they need for their mental well-being. So before we even get to that point, we need to look at what are we putting in place, what is on the national curriculum. And when we're talking about the next stages of this resilience program and our mental health work, that needs to be absolutely at the core of our curriculum, looking at how we develop children's well-being so that they have those tools as they move through life. And that is what we're going to keep pushing forward with this program. And we've now made a very good connection with the charity Mind, who are also going to be delivering some of this resilience work in schools now that we've trained some of their professionals. And we've got even more ideas about how we can expand this even further. What I want to touch on now is one of the key things that we found over the last academic year. Self-esteem, we know from what we found so far, is the biggest factor that can draw down on children's resilience, can pull their resilience levels down. Okay, so as I mentioned at the start, during week one, the children will score themselves on how resilient they feel in each area. And in week six, they'll do the same. And looking across the board from all the children we worked with in each school, which was just under 300 children, we found that those that scored their resilience scores as lower, as being less resilient in that area, also brought their scores down across all the other areas. One of the big contributing factors that linked to self-esteem was school. So children that scored themselves as having a lower resilient level in school, most of the time also scored themselves as having lower self-esteem levels. And we saw a big correlation between those two areas. So this is the question we really have to ask ourselves. If children are going to school and it is negatively affecting their self-esteem, what are we doing? Because we are doing the opposite of what schools should be about. Schools should be places where young people can feel as if they are bettering themselves, they are happy, and they are able to make progress at the speed that they are able to make progress. One of the big problems, and we know this through talking to young people, is our obsession with comparing children all of the time. And this is, again, where this then links into children with special needs and why schools can really get inclusive practice wrong. Because children are going to learn at different times. They're going to be excelling in different areas. And the problem with our education system is that we are too focused on certain areas and certain things that we want to focus on. And that does not mean the same to all of our children. And this is where we need to really look at our curriculum and the way our children have now developed and the way we are now in a different society compared to when the national curriculum was drawn up. We're going to be doing the same thing over this academic year, and we're going to be recording the same data that we've been taking to see if the self-esteem impact still comes out. And our kind of proposal and ask of schools is to be looking at how do we boost children's self-esteem within the school environment. We have a fantastic window of opportunity to be able to do that. Okay, we get the children for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. Within those 6 hours, we have a brilliant opportunity to boost their self-esteem. And we know from looking at Maslow's model that if we can boost self-esteem, that is a really important layer to enabling our children to be the best they can be. Ask this question to yourself now. If you're feeling rubbish about yourself, are you able to be the best version of you? The high majority of people are going to say no. It's exactly the same for our young people. So if we're expecting in school our children to make progress, to be the best they can be, their self-esteem needs to be taken seriously. So we really hope that we're able to, in our work, keep building on what we started and to keep developing resilience in young people. We know from speaking to young people that resilience is really important for them, and they understand, they have the understanding that there are going to be challenges in life that they face. If we ignore resilience and we don't talk about mental health at a young age, this is why we can then run into problems at a later age. The statistics that point towards the secondary school age pupils developing mental health difficulties are staggering, absolutely staggering. And this is where we need to really look at what are we doing in schools to ensure young people have those tools to manage their mental health better. So thank you for listening to this episode. It's a different episode to what we normally do, but we want people to keep sharing awareness about how mental health awareness in schools is so important and why building resilience is so, so important as well. Find us on Facebook at Multi Schools.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.